Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is your host, Lorraine Neidhart. You've reached Venus Unplugged. And what we do here is explore the archetypal world of Venus in dreams and myths through psyche, through eros, through art. And what I want to explore this morning is gifts, but not just the gifts and the gift giving, but the debt of gratitude that one has between the gift given, the gift received, the gift returned. This is something that, you know, most people don't really talk about much. And there are gifts, let's say, that are called threshold gifts. And threshold gifts are given at death. It was an old custom. People would give gifts from the dead and to another, okay? And it was at the actual funeral, and the gifts were given over the coffin. So what this was about was, so the one who had passed away would be let go of and go into another world, in a sense, debt-free, giving the gifts and not holding on to anything. So it's a powerful symbolic act, and threshold gifts, they mark the passage from one place or state into another. And although I haven't actually ever seen that tradition, it's interesting to read about it. And there's also the gifts that we have at the rite of passage. There's gifts that we have at separation and transitions. We have gifts, what they call, before the doorway and on the threshold and then in the house. Now, of course, that can also be seen as an initiation rite. So gifts and gratitude are huge in the ancient world and need to be a little more huge in our world. So threshold gifts mark time and the actual agents of, and also individual transformation. So it could be something simple like, you know, a graduation. So the person is given gifts very often for the next stage of their life, or they're given a golden pen because they're going to, probably given a golden iPad now, because they're going into college. So this is all very much part of our everyday life. We all know this, but what most people don't know, or I think they don't know, is that with every gift, there is this debt of gratitude. So when you take a gift, you are indebted to the person in some... That doesn't mean you're the slave, okay, but you are indebted in some form or another. Now, if it's just like a... You know, just some type of exchange that has nothing, sacredness to it, or it's just commerce. Well, no, not necessarily. But when it's a gift, which holds gravitas, which holds power, you better believe you're indebted, okay? And the opposite of gratitude is narcissism. So I think you have a sense of where I'm going with this one, all right? So the narcissistic person refuses to feel indebted to anybody. It's them, it's their art is theirs, everything is theirs, and they don't owe anybody anything. Well, you know how annoying that can be. And we intuitively, when around a narcissism with that flippant attitude, even if they're trying to be humble, and it's like, oh no, I'm in debt to you. But you know it's bullshit because you can feel it. It's like, no, you wouldn't know gratitude if it bit you, and it will bite you later on. So it's very interesting to understand that, and that's also why we can get offended. We give a gift, and the gift may be part of something, your wisdom, or it may be a physical gift, whatever it might be. And the narcissistic response is, they don't owe you anything. They don't owe you, but they owe the nature of the gifting, because the gifting is the sacred act. And so, let's say you're very kind to somebody, and you're always helping them and gifting them in some way and giving labors of your love. And then a time comes when, I don't know, you get pneumonia or something, and the person just sends you a text, gee, I hope you're feeling better, but doesn't stop by, if it's, of course, convenient, I'm not saying to come across the country, stop by with some soup or a flower or just to see that you're okay. They have no gratitude. A text doesn't make it when somebody has labored in love for you or towards you. Now, we're not talking about math here. We're not talking about tit for tat. We're talking about the sacredness of the gifting. And it goes much deeper. You know, that's on the superficial level. Doesn't make it superficial, but that's on the obvious level. It's like, come on, man. You know, entitlement refuses to suffer the labor of gratitude. And I just love that concept, the labor of gratitude. It's like, what? Wow. And it is laborious. So what I mean by labor, so if we work, you know, that's kind of in commerce. And we work and we get paid for the hour or the day or whatever it might be. So that's pretty cut and dry. But a labor is something more, it's about rhythm. It's not so much about time. When we labor, a labor of love, we're out, in many ways outside of time, where we're not, it's not ego-oriented. We don't say, okay, this labor of love, I'm going to give 1 hour on. Then you're not in a labor of love. You just want to get the job done. But with the labor of gratitude for the gift, now, this is interesting because the gift has the potency. The gift is the sacred. So it may come small. Like, let's say if I'm gifted by an insight in a dream, right? I know it. It can feel very daunting. Like, uh-oh, what does this mean? Because I know I need to labor or struggle, discover what this dream means, because I've been gifted with an insight. I've been told something that's because dreams, sense or nightly gifts, never bothered to tell us something we already know about ourselves. It gifts us with insight. So even in a dream, we can feel that when there, it's almost like an initiation. There's a moment when, you know, when I'm writing down the dream, and I realize, like, this is, you know, it's psyche's logic. It's not logical, but I can feel the intensity. Or I dream that there's something so big in the dream, or this big figure in the dream, right? Then it's like, all right, I have to. It's bigger than I can imagine. The ego can't take this in. So I need to work in a labor of gratitude, because I am grateful that I have been given this dream. I'm grateful that my inner world is alive and active, and I'm in relationship with it. And it wants me to understand so that we can be one and can feel whole. So that's a gift in a sense that we're given from psyche, all right? Then there's these threshold gifts, and we all know what those are about. But what fascinates me the most, or at least today that is these gifts. You know, it's like, or like, let's say, when our lives are touched by a true mentor. It's like when I remember the things that my mentors have said to me. And at the time, I grasped it to the best that I could. But then years later, having more experience and depth, and the, in a sense, the infinity of this gift that I was given, the gift to even be, you know, mentored by them was profound, because it takes a long time for it to take. I knew I was on to something, but I didn't really know what it was about until years later. You know, it's kind of like reality is when it happens to us. People can't really relate until they've had this experience, and then all of a sudden they're can relate. But what I would like to address here is about artists, okay? When a person is gifted, say, with some artistic ability, okay, or writing ability, whatever it might be, what is it that triggers the artist? It's usually a work of art. You know, or even as it, all kids are creative. You know, they're just, it's just the way they're born, and if given the opportunity, they will find many ingenious, creative ways to solve problems, because they don't have any prejudice that they can't do it or they shouldn't do it, or, you know, the universe is beige, which it actually is, but I don't want to get into that subject matter right now. But with an artist, the artist gives the community or gives the world its gift. And let's say, you know, most artists are brought to their vocation, their gifts are awakened by the work of a master. I mean, anybody who ever has seen the David, you're never the same. The statue of the David, it's... you stand before genius, the genius of the artist. So what happens when the future artist finds himself moved by a work of art or through an experience, and then they come to labor in the service of art until he can profess his own gifts. So there is a love. That's why many writers read a lot, because they love the written word and how a story is told, and whatever the art form may be, right? It can be cooking, it can be figurative art, and whatever it might be. But you begin to labor. And even if one does not have a specific artistic Damien or genius within them, they're still, their appreciation is so great. So what art, painting, literature does, it really revives our soul. And so the connection between art and gift is that it earns our gratitude, for a great sense that we've been transformed by music, by literature, by observing a work of art. Even if we don't like it, it's not a personal taste, but it's kind of like, man, that's annoying. And yet we can't stop talking about it. We can't stop thinking about it. We can't. It's touched you. So that is a gift. And that's what the artist gives the world, which is why we need art. So a transformative gift is we receive what the artist has labored for and through, and sometimes their whole life. And then as a recipient, we feel gratitude. And the gratitude is a labor undertaken by the soul, and it affects the transformation after the gift has been received. So it's not just this exchange of commerce. That's commerce. I give you, you give me, it's a commerce, we're equal, fine, ta-ta, or unequal, fine, ta-ta. But with a gift, there's a little secret there. There's a little ritual there. There's a little sacred there. So let's say, between the time a gift comes to us and the time we pass it along, we suffer gratitude. Isn't that a marvelous image? Suffering gratitude. What is meant by that? To suffer, to really feel it. I'm so grateful. But you don't really feel. It's something people say. But somebody who's suffering gratitude. Because by the time the gift is received and does its work on us, okay, it's the act of gratitude that finishes the labor. And as I said, labor is different from work. It's laborious. It is an act, in a sense, that is outside of time. You know, it's like when you're creating something. You know, when I would be making shoes, right, I could spend, you know, after I finished it, easily 100 hours. Now, if I knew it was going to be, oh, my God, this is going to be 100 hours, what am I crazy? It's like, but when you get into it, you know, if that's what it takes, that's what it is, because that's what it demands. And so the gift given of being able to make shoes, besides the fact that I'm so shocked that I could actually do that, and it wasn't me, it was the daemon, it was the genie that could do that. But I was in service and therefore laboring, creating and making and becoming. And everything that I was learning and becoming while I was laboring the gift that I was given. So this is a very interesting way to start looking at your gifts, not just the gifts that are given to you by others, but the gifts that are given to you from the divine, the gifts that are given you from psyche. Let's say, you know, it's old. If psyche gives us a dream and we don't write it down or we don't give it a place, at least some place, it's like it's a gift unopened. No, you know, all hell isn't going to break loose, but you're going to suffer more trying to find the resolution to your issues. Because you didn't open up the dream. And sometimes just writing it down or telling someone, you know, hopefully somebody who's got a little wisdom on dreamers, sometimes we just tell a stranger and, you know, in the speaking it out loud, the laborious process. Or if we're given the gift of being healed, that's not the end of the story. The story is then the labor of the gratitude that body and soul are going to through. So it's not like thanks, bye. Mm-mm. Whatever is of the sacred is eternal. So in a sense, it's outside of time and space. So let's say with a gifted person. So there's the initial stirrings of the gift. Right? And then what begins to happen, and then there's the releasing. blessing of the gift. So the initial stirrings are the potential of ours. But when it is actually ours is the labor of gratitude. So the gift, of one's talent. There's a lot that goes on. Say even in the gift of a psychism or mysticism, whatever you want to call it. It's like, as a young woman, as a teenager, I just thought I was crazy. Why would, what was going on? And then when I was gifted by a mentor who named it, then it was like, what's this? And then the labor, I'm still laboring on the refinement of this gift. And in many ways, I still don't feel the gift is mine. It has been given. I'm still in this labor of gratitude, probably dropped dead with this labor of gratitude, which is fine, because I kind of dig laborious or being in that state where we're working and we're refining and we're becoming, and then we begin to use it. And so that, on a psycho-spiritual level, this gift, so the gift to be able to interpret, or the gift to be able to hear the soul, what it needs. Because we're also in service to the gift. So we're not just talking about matter here. We are talking about the sacredness. So once a gift is, I'm talking right now about artistic gift, once a gift has been stirred within us, it's up to us to develop it. And that's one of the saddest dilemmas I see in life, when a person has a gift and they don't develop it. Sometimes they feel too inferior, or they, instead of like, who cares? Just work on it. Because that labor, that working on, that discovering, that reading about it, that, practicing whatever one needs to practice to develop. What are you doing? We're doing here in the end of your life? Talking smack? See, the gift will continue to discharge its energy so long as we attend to it. And then we attend to it in return. That's why we, when artistically one is never finished. Even if the world sees it as a masterpiece, the artist knows, no, I need to stay in this state of the labor of gratitude before I could say, yes, this is mine. And it's a very important thing to be looking at. And it's as true today as any other ancient time, right? And will continue. So when we're in this labor of gratitude, we begin to differentiate what was undifferentiated. It's like, oh, I get it. This becomes this and that. Oh, or the gift of someone's love. Just, we need to labor. What are they giving? What is it of value? Does it match our own values? And if you love somebody, even if you don't exactly have the same values, but you know how important it is, that's the gratitude. Like, okay, they love that, so I'll go and I'll do that. That's the labor. So when we work, But when we labor, that's something completely different. Because it has a different kind of rhythm. It has an interior rhythm in it. It's something that's not dictated by life or by society. It's something that is often urgent, but it's, nevertheless, it has its own rhythm and something more bound up with feeling, and it's more interior than work. And the labors of gratitude is the middle term in the passage of a gift, which is interesting. And it's very different from obligation, when we feel when we accept something, especially if we don't want it. There's that feeling of obligation. But when there's a gift, it has the power to change us and awakens part of the soul. So when the soul or psyche gifts us with a dream, the potential, if we will labor with a sense of gratitude, this is very tedious and difficult work, yet it is a labor of love to be able to work with this, or it's a labor of love to work with our hands and not the perfection that a machine can give. Because nothing is returned. The machine works. It doesn't labor. So this gift that has the power to change us and awakens part of the soul, but we cannot receive the gift until we meet it as an equal, which means we start to understand the depth of it, the intensity of what to do with it, how to work with it. It keeps giving. And then, when we have some containment and understanding and work with that, then we can give the gift to the world. Let's say if we practice being an artist, okay? So we work, we labor, we have this sense of gratitude. Now, understand, if the person is narcissistic, they don't have this. They think it's them, and very often, let's say if it's a painting, you'll look at it, and well, at least I've looked at it, and I think, no, they didn't have the labor of gratitude. I never knew what I was looking at, but it was like I didn't see the labors of transformation. It was just they splashed some shit on, and, you know, they just thought, like, you know, wow, look at me. You know, like, threw some colors on a piece of paper and I'm an artist. No, you're not. There is the labor of gratitude that a gift has been given to you. And in that gift, once you develop it, you can give it back to the world, and that inspires others or heals others. And giving a gift, a return to the gift, is the final act of the labor of gratitude, therefore the true acceptance of the original gift. So this is very important to grasp if one wants to. So remember, the opposite of gratitude is narcissism. And you'll be able to tell the difference real simple, okay? So when you realize, and it doesn't matter at what stage in life, it's like, oh my God, oh my goodness, I've been given this gift. It's like, yeah, we can be all excited about it, but now, then you have to start the slow labor of realizing a potential gift. And the artists, you know, sometimes they have to retreat, or sometimes they, you know, they can't go out and play every night because they really want to stay in and develop this. And everybody's like, wow, you used to be so much fun, you know, running around. It's like, no, I got to work on this, okay? Because as we develop the gift, this labor of love, we eventually free the gift so that it can survive in the world. So this is a living principle. This is not just a commerce and exchange. In the ancient world, they would call this one's daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, or one's genie or genius. There was a deity who inspired us. And we would be at this labor of gratitude. So think a little bit about this if you wish to, and remember that the gift received, and also I think the labor of gratitude is developing love, having a deep appreciation. You know, as children, it's like, yeah, thank you. But, you know, as we grow, it's like, wow, look at all that person did in order to give me this. And we labor, well, in love, or we're making something for someone, or making something of ourselves to give to someone. That is using the gift that we were given to, in a state of gratitude, to develop it and to give it back to the world. So that's the deal. Okay, bye-bye.